Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local pubcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark.
3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a sex on the beach.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Evening, cherubs.
Evening, cherubs.
What?
Have you pressed record?
Yes,
I've pressed record.
Cherubs.
Yeah.
Where you got that from?
I just thought I'd mix it up
that,
a bit.
It actually reminds me of something that, you know, I once was reading a script. I'm going back years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
When we used to do, a youth action group.
Yes.
Mark was the chairman.
I was the chairman.
Oh, yeah, get me all responsible.
I know.
It's only because I'm the oldest.
Not you.
Oh, I was that. I weren't no chairman of that.
And we were brilliant, that youth action group. We'll talk about that one day. But it was brilliant, that youth action group. And
can't wait.
Groups
hadn't been invented when Mark were a youth.
And one year we decided we were going to put on, we had an idea that we was going to put on a pantomime. So I bought a script and everything. So I was marking up the script. And I remember saying to my mum was sat in the living room, mum was sat in the kitchen. And I said to my mum, I went, what's Tubric? And she went,
what?
What? And I went, what's Tubric?
Is that not something you put in Indian food?
And I said,
did you say chew a brick?
I said, what's Tubric? And she went, and mum went, I don't know what you're saying. Tell me in the sentence. I says, it says here in this script, the angels had Tubric faces. And she couldn't stop laughing because it was cherubic. And I'd read it as Tubric.
Right.
So yeah, anytime someone says cherubs or anything like that, it just reminds me of that, which is really weird. Says it was what? 26 years ago, whatever
so,
it were.
So, does your mom listen to these podcasts, don't you?
She does, yeah.
And you've just embarrassed her again by reminding her about...
No, it was me that got it wrong.
Oh,
she
you?
Told me, yeah.
Oh,
it was me. It was
sorry,
me.
Thought, oh,
it was me
it was
saying, what's Tubric? My mum was laughing, saying it's
not
cherubic.
Like you to listen, Mark.
Well, it's not... No, it's not. It's not that. It's just that Kirk, as we know... He knows everything.
Yep.
So I'm surprised you've got something like that wrong. Because usually a walking dictionary for us. And
well, now we've pulled to pieces my hello. How is everyone?
Oh, yeah.
Good, thanks, Rob.
How are you?
Should we spin the wheel?
I'm all right, thanks.
He's really looking at me watch like anybody can see me doing
it. Yeah.
For the benefit of the
I went
tape.
To another spa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was
off license.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've got a gripe.
Oh. You've got a gripe.
About this particular one.
It's grape. It's grape.
grape. I don't know if it's a gripe, but basically, you know when you go somewhere and you're paying for a service or a product? Yeah?
Yes.
But you don't...
Shales more. Don't matter. Some people...
Okay, yeah.
No, he got it. I thought he'd get it.
I know what you're talking about.
Can you explain?
Some people get it.
Go on then, tell me.
That's why Mark only got here 10 minutes ago.
It's the red light.
He went to Shalesmore 15 minutes ago.
It's the red light district in Sheffield.
Yeah. Ah.
I don't think
well, it used to be. I don't know whether it still is.
I don't think it's his anymore.
Right, for you to know that.
Where is it? Anyway, asking for a friend. Where is it? Where is it now?
Sorry, Rob, go on. When you're paying for a service.
When you're paying for a service or a product and you don't quite get 100% what you've paid for. So I'll lay the situation out. So we'd gone to the spa, Champney Spa. Lovely. But when we got there, we walked in, and after walking around a minute, I was like, oh, they've got an outside pool in this beautiful weather. Brilliant. Oh, it's closed. Okay. So then I walked through into the main area, and you've got kind of two main pools, and then this other, quite a big thing, but it's a bit like a jacuzzi, but big, but not.
And what? I know what?
Okay. Hang on.
Right.
So they've got two pools inside.
Yeah.
And they've got this big thing.
Well, there's three pools inside.
So they've got this big thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of a jacuzzi that's big and it's not.
Yeah, it's like a jacuzzi at one side but not at the other. And it's not big but it's not small. It's not the size of a jacuzzi, and it's
so
not
it's a medium-sized half jacuzzi.
Yeah.
Rob, are you doing your riddles again?
No,
is
no.
Is this part
no.
of your spin the wheel
no.
thing?
But anyway, I thought, oh, well, I'll tell you what, I won't mind going in that. Hold on a minute. That's closed as well.
Okay.
Right, okay. So now we've got two pools.
The pool, the jacuzzi were closed.
No.
Like there's no water in it.
No, the jacuzzi was open.
Oh, yeah.
But this medium-sized half jacuzzi, half pool was closed.
Closed.
Yeah.
Well, so the door was shut or there was no water in it?
No, it got water in it. They just put literally a sign in front of it that said,
closed.
Closed.
Get out of here.
Honestly. Honestly. Same as the one outside, although that got like a cover over it.
What happens if you went around the other side to get in?
I know. Someone would have come over and said, I'm sorry, this is closed.
Can you see that sign over there?
Yeah.
It's exactly medium-sized half jacuzzi is not open.
That's exactly what
but the small full jacuzzi is open.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
This one doesn't identify as a jacuzzi.
So out of one, two, three, four pools, two of them are closed.
Okay.
So, but yeah. When we arrived, no one said, just to let you know, half of the pools in the venue are actually closed. So,
technically a quarter of one, of two. Half of one, one is only half a pool.
Yeah, all right. Don't make it more complicated than it already is. So my question is why, when they know that they're not quite offering 100% of what they've got, do they not, when you arrive, firstly say, just to let you know, guys, there's two pools aren't working. Not that you're going to go home.
You know what I would do?
What would you have done?
I wouldn't ask them. I'd come here and I'd ask us.
Yeah. That's exactly
we'll know the answer.
No, because I'm just putting it to you.
Oh, yeah. Well,
do you not
what
think...
What would I do? I won't tell you.
Do you not think... do you not think...
I just...
All right, stop it now. Behave. Do you not think that this should say... Half the pools are closed, so just to let you know, we're gonna reimburse you £5 for each person from your booking as a gesture of goodwill. Right.
At a fiver, though, because you've paid probably a lot more than a fiver to go.
Maybe.
Well, you know what I'm going to say? You know, I'd be straight complaining. You know, I'm the complaint king.
Oh, but I agree with you. Would you have put a complaint in there and then, or would you have waited till you got home and then complained about it?
I would have spoken to them first and said, asked them about the pools and what's happening with them and are they opening? Type of thing.
Yeah.
And why I wasn't advised in advance.
Yeah.
And also why I weren't told on the day.
Why
and
didn't you send me a fax? Trevor McDonald's like that, right? We're going over to our half-pool, half-jacuzzi correspondent now over at Champneys, who's got a complaint about half the functions.
They should have paged me. That's what they should have done on the pager. I'm with you, Rob.
I've got a question there, Rob.
Go on. Okay. But would you... Do you think that that's what you should have to do to go to them and tell them, you've not told me this, there's only half pools are working, blah, blah? Or should they already be telling you before you even get in there?
Well, like I said, they should have let me know by email or whatever.
I mean, they might not know that far in advance. They might only known that morning, but still, at least worst case, when you get there, let you know. Yeah, go on, Kirk.
Yes.
Did these pools or pool, half jacuzzi or whatever?
Yeah.
Give you any additional service or any additional thing?
More wetness.
that you couldn't already get that was already available.
Did they give you a bigger bath?
One of them was outside.
Okay.
Yeah. Was it half outside and half inside?
Fully outside.
But it's a pool.
But it was a pool, but outside. I don't even know if it was a jacuzzi pool. I don't know.
I bet it was just a... But where were you going? It was a puddle.
Puddle, yeah.
Why can't we go in there? No. There's a sign next to it. You can't go in. It says, watch out, wet floor.
It was a pool, and it was outside, and it was really nice weather. So people wanted to go in that pool because it was outside.
Yeah.
And the other one, granted, there was a separate small jacuzzi, very small, and that one... Well, as we know, it's a half pool, half jacuzzi.
But what I'm saying, your question was, what you're intonating towards, is that you've paid for a service and you haven't been given that service.
Yeah.
Right? What I'm saying is if the service that is being offered is pool, jacuzzi, tick, tick.
Yeah.
So the service has been provided.
Yeah. But if you've been before or you knew it was...
Well, that's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. When you enter into an agreement with a supplier of a service, what you're saying, if they're advertising that you have... We've got pool, jacuzzi, then when you get there, if there is a pool and jacuzzi, the service that's been offered and paid for has been provided.
I'm with you there, Kurt, but I'm guessing this place is advertising they've got multiple pools. I'm guessing they'll go, four pools, and we've got this, and because they're only going, we've got a pool.
Possibly.
They're going to boost.
I don't actually know.
I'm going to make my last daft comment.
Here
we go.
What, for this minute, or this hour, or this episode?
You should have gone to Clifton Park, mate. Anyway, but no, on a serious note, not that I agree with it, I wouldn't be at all surprised if there's not something, as there usually is at places, that says, we have the right to reserve or the right to change things without prior notice or something like that.
100%.
In the small print. You get it like Alton Towers. You can get there and a ride will be short, but it'll be in small print that ride might be short.
Yep.
But you still got to go on that ride, and then you complain that it's short.
And I get that they can do that, and that would be another fine example.
But that
would be another fine example.
Going to
a theme park.
Because you're basing it on going to that.
Yeah.
And then you get there, that's the only reason I'm coming. And you know.
Yeah, if you went to Alton Towers and Smile was shut.
Yeah.
All day.
It'd be like going to a pub and they go, sorry, we've got no beer today.
But again, if we're talking legal terms or we're talking compensation terms or whatever it is, if you're going to Alton Towers, let's use that as an analogy, you're already entering into the agreement that there's a possibility
that something could be closed.
You could go, you could be then upset or peed off that it's closed. You could be like, oh, do you know what? I'm not going there again. It could put you off going in the future or whatever. That's fine. But from an agreement level, you've entered into that agreement going, knowing there's a potential that it could be closed.
So just let me be clear, though. My argument isn't, should
we'll
they be
able
to...
We'll be 18 months for you, to be clear.
Should they be able to do it, and should you complain and everything else? No, because I haven't complained about it. It didn't bother me that much.
It didn't. We're 10 minutes in.
But the point is, should, from a customer service level, and say and be a bit more, we're going to give you something...
Forthcoming.
Yeah.
No, they shouldn't be forthcoming in giving you something. They haven't done anything wrong. So should they have informed you, when you checked in, should somebody have said to you, I'm really sorry, but unfortunately we've had a technical issue with this and this, so therefore this and this is out of order, I'm really sorry. Yes, they should have done that.
I mean, right. I think...
But giving you something, no.
I mean, the theme park thing, I get, but that's slightly different because there's loads of stuff at a theme park. So if there's a couple of rides down, okay, you might have gone for it specially, but there's a lot of working parts in it. But a pool, there's not a lot of working parts.
I get that. That's the same thing, though.
There is another pool.
Yeah, well, true, but it depends on how it was, you know, because like, if they're advertising it, they've got multiple pools.
Yeah, it still doesn't matter because it'll still be in the terms and conditions or small print somewhere that... Some things may be unavailable.
Well, it may be. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I've not seen it. But if it were me, I'd be looking at that and seeing, you know, seeing if there's any loopholes.
It's like me having a restaurant at work. Somebody coming in, sitting down, and me going, I'm really sorry, we've got no sirloin steak tonight because, you know, delivery, whatever it is, right? And that person sitting there going, in that case, I want something free.
What if they'd already paid for the sirloin steak? There was a different price to everything else.
But then it would depend on whether I've got something else. So if I got another steak on the menu and I was saying to somebody, I'm really sorry, the sirloin steak that you paid for, we can't offer. However, we've got a rump steak or we've got a T-bone steak or a ribeye, blah, blah, blah. Then fine, because I'm offering an alternative. If you went to that spa and you were saying to me that it was advertised that they've got pools and you went and all the pools were shut.
Yeah.
Right, then I would expect you to get some sort of gesture or compensation back for that.
Yeah.
The fact that you still had a pool access to and you still had access to a jacuzzi, then for me, service provided.
Okay.
My point, what I'm going to say about a theme park is that I got caught off, is there's loads of rides. When you go to a spa day, there's not really much to do at a spa place. It's really a pool and a spa. That's pretty much it.
But he had a pool.
Well, he had a pool, but again, it depends on how it was advertised going. We've got multiple pools. I won't go to a spa if it's only got one pool. I'd be like, no, I'd go to one that's got more. So that's, they've pulled me in. So then if the offer room's closed, I'll be like, well, I've only come here because you've got multiple pools, because you've advertised it as multiple pools.
Yeah. My main thing is just that customer service, because for me, that's what this is that you're not, 100% of your thing's not working right, and therefore some, it could be as tiny as you're getting a meal provided, you get an extra grape on your plate. Right, it's just something acknowledges that they actually care.
No, because we're in a world, we live in a world, right? Trust me, right? I see it every day working in hospitality.
Oh, I bet.
Right, and we live in this world now where people are so
entitled,
so demanding and so entitled, right? That you have one thing out of place, and people expect the world back. Right, and it just doesn't. If companies worked like that, there'd be no companies that existed because they couldn't afford to do it. They couldn't afford to do it. At the end of the day,
Is it a bugger when something goes wrong? Of course. But it's life.
Yeah.
And things go wrong. And people, when something goes wrong, it doesn't mean that people automatically have to be...
compensated.
Thank you, Mark. Compensated. Mm. Because it just doesn't... Excuse my language. Shit happens.
Yeah,
it just does. And do you not think that people of that spa or theme park or whatever, they want everything to work all the time. They want everyone to have a great time. They want everybody wants this, but stuff happens. And the thing is we're falling into this trap of a generation, not generation, a society of, oh, right, what can I get? What can I want? What can I get? And we cloak it behind this, well, that's what good customer service is. No, good customer service is someone saying sorry. Good customer service is someone trying to, show empathy and stuff like that. But we take that and we go, no, good customer service is giving me money back or giving me something for free. That's not good customer service. That, anyway.
Well, for the record, I had a wonderful time.
Good.
It didn't actually matter an ounce that those pools weren't open. As much as I've made a point of it, it's because it made me think there's other situations, as we've said, theme parks, there's other situations where I think, yeah, why was that? But we've answered it and I had a great time and... Yeah.
Well, talking of jacuzzis, have any of you ever been downstairs when somebody's trumped in a bath? How loud is it?
Do you know what? I can't tell you last time I had a bath.
No, you wouldn't be in if you were downstairs unless you've fallen through the ceiling.
Have you ever
heard somebody trump in a bath?
I don't think I have.
Have you not? It's like thunder.
Well, I'm thinking of the scenario now, because if you're saying that, then I presume you weren't in the bath. So I'm presuming either with your daughter or your wife.
Long time ago.
I bet you're glad you changed that subject. Yeah. Exactly.
Because it could have been you in bath, surely.
But actually, it's loud when you're in as well. Because but it's really good, like rum. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you mean.
The bubbles tickle you on the way up.
Exactly.
There you go.
But isn't that like thunder?
Speaking of which, though, how good are bath bombs?
Oh, no, mate. No. Gritty. No. Gritty under your ass.
Pay a bit more then.
Why, can you get them without grits in?
Well, I've never had grit in mine.
Oh, it's like pouring grit salt in your bath.
I ain't got the patience to wait for a bath to run.
I can imagine.
By the time there's water in it, I'm like, right, I've had enough. And it's not even up to level.
That's you, Mark, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mark's not even got past his knees.
No, I can imagine.
I can imagine
turning tap on, getting in instantly, getting really frustrated that it's not past his calves yet, and getting out.
Yeah.
I'm like Clark Kent spinning round.
You know when you have a bath, do you then have to have a shower after it?
Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, as it happens...
Oh, so you're the problem with all the droughts in here?
In the main bathroom, we've got...
The main bathroom.
In the family bathroom, or whatever
you
call
it. Next to the master bedroom.
In the family bathroom when you haven't got a
not
family.
The ensuite. Not the ensuite.
Well, hang on. You should have said this when we did the episode about weird things that people do. Because that's weird, having a bath and then a shower. I mean, you both do it. I've never have a bath and a shower.
I reckon it's more normal than you think.
You think so?
Well, because you sit in...
So what's the point?
Dirty
in
water.
Yeah, exactly. You wash
yourself, and then you sat in dirty water. I mean, you know, I won't go in a bath now to clean myself. I go in for the relaxation of a bath. But then all the dirt comes off you.
Yeah. I once did relaxation. It was a long, long time ago.
I wouldn't say it must have been a long time ago.
And you're all sat in your own mess, and then you stand up, and as you stand up, it clings to you. So I'm not. Well, now I need to rinse it all off.
Well,
so then I just turn the shower on and step forward and get in shower. So,
well, I've got to go upstairs. I've got to go to another floor to have a shower. My bath's on a different floor than my shower.
Mark gets dried. Dried, and then goes upstairs to get his shower.
Your bath's on a different floor than your shower. Is it just me that's poor
really?
around this table?
Yeah, it is. It's on a different floor.
You have to get an elevator up.
Mark
has to call his butler to come and carry him into the shower.
Bathrooms, and by bathroom I'm including toilet, is in your house?
Three.
How many's in yours? Including toilet?
Three.
And how many's in yours?
Two.
Is it just me that's poor?
Why? How many
this table? One.
Is it outside?
Up the garden, yeah.
Are you in the two up, two down?
One bathroom.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know how people...
I mean, my mom and dad used to...
I should make a complaint
and
see if you can get something for free.
Yeah.
I used to have a bath in a tin bath when I were a kid, because my mom and dad didn't have a bath. A little tin bath.
How did you warm water up?
Kettle.
A dragon used to
electric breathe. Kettle.
Dragon used to breathe so fire on it.
You had an electric kettle, but you had to get bathed in a tin bath.
Well, I don't know. But I mean, maybe it won't.
Gas stove.
Gas stove,
won't it?
Maybe.
I mean, you didn't have gas back then.
paraffin. Paraffin, weren't it? Something like that. Anyway, what were you going to say, Rob? Go on.
No, I don't think I was going to say that were it.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, has anybody else had a good...
Talking of spas, there's a controversial subject occurring.
It's incoming.
Is it not about politics, is it?
Yes. No. Well, it might get a little bit political.
Oh, okay. Go on then.
Locally, obviously, I live in Thorpe Esley, and neighbouring is Wentworth. Mm. Now, there's loads of old, farm buildings.
Oh, I thought you were going to say people.
You might have seen it on news. And there's planning in to convert some of these old farms into a hotel and spa.
Ooh, boy, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Outside Wentworth Woodhouse?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
That'd be lovely.
They've got half a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
They've got four pools and it's totally open.
It's causing some right debates. And
why though?
Because people are concerned over... Because it is literally linked by country lanes, isn't it, Wentworth?
Yeah.
So they're worried about, obviously, the construction traffic initially, in and out, how are they going to get through? And then, obviously, tourists.
So I think, though, people just find stuff to moan about.
They do. I mean, there's Wentworth Garden Centre, and that generates loads of traffic.
Yeah.
So people, you and Wiyuka, people just moan about everything. Nobody wants it on the back, in my backyard. I don't want it there.
You guys know that I listen to LBC quite a bit in the car or whatever. Yeah. And it absolutely frustrates hell out of me because literally you can have one day they're talking about lack of housing, for instance, and they'll go, there's no one building any houses, there's no one building any affordable housing, there's not enough houses, people can't get on the housing ladder, blah, 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 blah. The following day, you could be listening to the same thing, and people are ringing up going, oh, well, they're building an housing estate here and they're building an housing estate there. What do you want? We either want more housing, so therefore it's got to be built, or we don't want more housing and we can keep nice fields. Well, you can't have both.
Well, it's like I said, it's the classic of these people want more houses, but they don't want them on their backyard.
Yeah, they want it somewhere else.
It's like, be it a power plant or a supermarket. We don't want it around here, somewhere else. We're tiny as a country. We've got to build this stuff.
We'll come back to it in a minute because it would be a lovely spa if they did. It's got so much greenery and animals. There's loads of farm animals around there. It could be called a spa, couldn't it?
Oh my God, it's bad. Oh, bad as Mark's
just... Oh, looking at you then, because I thought, surely Mark's going to catch on to that one.
I did catch on to it.
Yeah, whatever.
It was dreadful.
Yeah.
It was pretty dreadful.
I thought it was brilliant.
I think it's your best joke you've done, Mark.
I do as well, Mark. It was better than the Jesus show, weren't it?
No.
No, that's Mark's best joke.
I think if there's a sparring went with, it'll be dear.
These two Kirk are terrible, aren't they?
Brilliant. Well, actually, I've actually been looking at some dad jokes. But just while you're talking about crap jokes, can I give you some of my best dad jokes?
Yeah.
Just while we're here.
Yeah, please.
Sure. Where do young trees go to learn? Elementary school.
Have
you got any English ones?
What do you call a fake noodle?
What do you call a fake noodle? I don't know. What do you call a fake noodle?
An impasta.
Oh, I like that.
These are good dad jokes.
Yeah, these are American dad jokes.
Why don't eggs tell jokes?
Because the yolk's on them. Because
they'd crack each other up.
Oh, I mean, that were good, that, the yolk's on them.
What kind of music scares balloons?
Pop music. These are like utter crackers, aren't they, these?
What sounds like a sneeze that is made of leather?
Lees.
What?
I'm
thinking out loud. I shouldn't do that.
What sounds like a sneeze and is made of leather?
I don't know.
A shoe.
I'm having that one.
Yeah.
In the pocket.
See, I just thought while you were talking about crap jokes.
But anyway, as you were saying, Kirk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it really is just getting your nerves when people want one thing, but then don't want the other.
I think the biggest concerns with building new things is making sure the infrastructure's there, because there's not we're seeing it locally, and it's just a huge problem where they take away. It's a takeaway. They'll change the
build takeaways.
Yeah,
definitely.
So there'll be like places where people, when they're dropping kids off at school, there'll be roads and whatever where people park the cars and then they'll walk, take the kids down to the school yard or whatever. And then those areas that get turned into housing developments, like what we've seen, and then the areas where the people used to park are no longer there, and then they park somewhere else, and then parking becomes a problem. And so it's, for me, it's they should think a little bit more about the infrastructure and provide some infrastructure so that things can work efficiently. Because it's all well and good saying, all right, we're going to stick, I don't know, 50 houses or 100 houses on this plot of land here, and then have no means for these people to either park somewhere or, the schools are just, were only built for and designed for the area that it was probably 50 years ago, let's say. Maybe not quite as long as that, but, maybe it were actually.
Yeah.
In fact, the junior school would have been older than that.
Yeah.
So you're talking about housing estates that are built. So let's just take a housing estate and plonk it in the middle of the field, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But then within that housing estate, they just don't. They build it purely for how many properties they can get on that space of land.
But they need schools, they need doctors, they need shops.
If you're building an existing area and you've got, I don't know, a school that's there. And people, you already know there's a problem with parking.
Oh, so this is.
But then what you do is you remove some more of that parking by building more houses, and then you've got more cars in that same area. Then people, have got nowhere to park there, so they try and park somewhere else. Yeah. Then it becomes dangerous. And then you've got kids who are trying to get to school. You've got cars on curbs and one thing and another. On a flip to that, you look at the Waverley estate that's being built near Catcliffe, and that's like a different animal altogether. They've really thought about it. Yeah. They built their own school. They've almost got like a little high street on there.
And I would say opposite to that, but yeah. As in, but this I think that was the point I was more making about new housing estates in general that don't interfere with other existing buildings. But if you just take a brand new housing development, plonk it in the middle of nowhere, so there's nothing around it. But within that housing estate, once it's finished, no one's got anywhere to park. It's brand new. It's literally, they've designed it knowing that people have three cars per household now. That's not strictly true, but you know what I mean? No one has one car anymore,
there's
only parking for one car.
I think, that's obviously where that comes back to money, doesn't it? Developers
that's
want to
That's what I mean, they're just trying
houses.
To cash in on that.
But at least they built some infrastructure for schools, maybe a doctor's, that sort of thing. But when you increase the capacity in a particular area and there's no scope to extend the school or parking for people that are, like you said, going to live there, then it's ill thought out, isn't it? And it creates huge problems.
But surely when they come to planning these things, they're the things that the people outside of the planning go, hold on a minute, how are you doing this? And how's that going to work? And how does that work?
Should do.
It should do, but at the end of the day, whose responsibility does it become? Whose cost does it become?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. So like the housing developers know that they're going to sell their houses.
Yeah.
Whether the infrastructure's there or not,
they
know they're going to sell their houses.
Yeah.
So it's all right, somebody sitting there and going, well, hang on a minute, where are they going to park, or where are they going to do this, or where are they going to do that? Who takes on that cost responsibility?
Yeah.
The housing developers are going to sit there and go, look, I'm going to sell these houses whether the infrastructure's there or not.
Yeah.
So why should I go to the cost of
But there must be something on them when they put the planning in to do it. There must be someone that says, well, look, you can. You've got to do this.
Well, you'd like to think so, wouldn't you?
Like Waverley Estate, as you said.
They'll say, for example, if they're building an estate, they'll say, right, you need to have some green space. You need somewhere for the kids to play, a little play area, whatever, things like that. And so they'll do stuff to tick boxes, to make it so that, it looks somewhere that's a little bit environmentally friendly and, it's not just a concrete jungle. But it's how do you get from that estate to the main roads? How do you get to school? Is the school big enough to, take in those extra children? And I know that you'll get developers that will pay. I think they might give money into the local authority. Do you know what I mean? But then that local authority won't necessarily apply that back into the area that's needed to support the development. Because they're in debt, they'll be like, oh, we'll need this for emptying bins somewhere else, or a waste recycling centre somewhere, And then you've got a school that's bursting at seams, and you've got, like I said, cars parked on grass verges and half on curbs and across people's driveways, and it just creates utter chaos.
As much as I completely agree with you, the problem is we're so desperate for housing, though.
They, yeah. you, they can't put, whether it's government or whether it's local authorities or whatever it is, can't put too many barriers in place.
No, I agree.
Otherwise, people will stop building houses.
No, absolutely. I don't think we need to build more houses. We definitely do. I think just a bit more thought in terms of, there seems to be small pockets of developments that sort of perhaps go into certain areas that maybe, I don't know, could be a bit better thought out. Whereas you get some large developments that have got, you know, you can build infrastructure, a doctor, surgery, a dentist, a school. I mean, you look at the number of people that are on dentist waiting lists, you know, in particular areas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then a new development pops up. Well, what chance have they got of getting on that dentist?
Yeah, yeah.
They're behind the people that are already on the list. So it's having that forethought for me to, how can we create something? You know, if we're going to, let's build some towns, you know. Yes, there'll be people out there that will say, well, we don't want to be building on all these fields, but if we've got to build, we've got to build. Again, there has to be an end game. You can't just keep building because you'll end up with no, you know, green space at all. But it's having that forethought where you're building something, but you're not necessarily taking something away from the next person. You're creating something in addition, and it's self-sufficient in you know, in terms of having facilities.
Just while we're talking about housing, how do you think our kids are going to end up getting on the housing ladder?
I've no idea. I've got a feeling, and I think this is something I feel quite strongly about, that there should be a lot more social housing.
Yeah.
Because I think that's you know, there's a huge shortage of social housing and very affordable, and I say very affordable because there is a term for affordable housing, but it's kind of affordable. You know, affordable homes for someone who's buying for the first time shouldn't be £200,000. Mm. You know.
Don't they reckon something like the average house now outside of London is, the average house price now is like close to £300,000?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's something like £280,000.
When we were kids, if somebody had said that to you, that would have been like being a millionaire, wouldn't it?
Which is mental.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think any of us live in a house that worth £280,000. Do you, Rob? I think.
I reckon. I bet you and Rob aren't far off.
Say that again, sorry.
You don't live in a house that's worth £280,000.
He will be. It's probably worth more now.
Yeah.
It wasn't when we bought it. But it will be now.
Around that mark.
You've got the. When you get your house valued and you get it valued by the bank versus what an estate agent say, they are literally within £60,000 difference. And you're like, I'm sorry, you're a little bit far apart from each other here, and I don't really get how you're working it out. Yeah, because we base it on how many bricks you've got, and we base it on how much people want to buy it.
Exactly.
People will pay as much as they're prepared to pay.
What do you reckon about this idea that, I know they floated it around a couple of years ago, and I think it is still being talked about a little bit, but about having these multi-generational mortgages.
That's a Germany-based idea.
I thought you were going to say that, because that's what I thought when you said that.
I think it's a genius idea.
Yeah, I do. So the idea being that you have a mortgage.
Yeah.
And then, but it's actually carried over to your children.
Yeah,
so I could
now at my age, I could take, so at the minute, my age, I'm not on the housing ladder yet, as you know. I've probably come to the conclusion that I'm probably not going to be.
Well, you did say yet. There's a bit of hope there for you.
But if I wanted to now, let's say if I did want to get on the housing market, the maximum mortgage that I'm going to be able to take is around about 28 years.
Yes.
Because I think they allow you up to 70, do they? Something like that, 70 years old?
I didn't think it was 70. I thought it was 65.
Now. They've increased the pension age, I think. Okay. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm sure you can get mortgage up to 70. So that only gives me like a 28 year mortgage.
Yes.
Yeah. But obviously, if they brought in this multi generational thing, I could take a 50 year mortgage.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Which obviously makes a house more affordable on a monthly basis on a mortgage, and then when I pop my clogs, that goes to.
Yeah.
My kids or whatever,
and they don't know, and they're going, oh, we've got to pay this.
It's a serious thing that you say, because some of the opposition against the idea is, well, that's putting debt onto future generations. The difference is that if that future generation doesn't want the they'd sell the house.
Yeah.
The option's always there to sell the house.
I know. I would just...
It is an easier option to get into the market, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm all for it. I think it's a great idea. Because something needs to be done. Because this generation gap, my son's he's in a predicament. You know, he ain't got money to deposit to get mortgage. And particularly if you're single, you've no chance. You've got to be two of you. You know, how are you going to get onto it? Once you're on it, you're not so bad. Once you're on it, you're sort of up there. But it's just getting on it.
And it doesn't help that you can't, if it's a rent in the first place, before you get the rents are so high that inhibits you from being able to save.
I mean, the whole renting thing is ridiculous, because a mortgage, you could be paying rent, let's say £600 a month. You try to get a mortgage that's, say, £500 a month. They'll go, yeah, but we need proof that you can pay £500. Yeah, but I'm paying rent at £600.
You try getting rent for less than £600 a month.
I'll just use the example. But the bank won't take any notice of what you're paying rent. You could be paying rent for 5 years. I mean, Kirk, you know, whatever. I know you rent. He's been renting a long time. If he went to a mortgage lender, they won't use that as proof that he could pay a mortgage. Yeah. And that's wrong for a start. Yeah. That needs to be changed. So, and as what I was going to say, as the years go on, it's going to get harder and harder for young people to get on this housing. So someone needs to sort of change, because...
But do you know what is changing? There is a big change in people's thinking that they don't want to buy.
Mm. And true.
People are shifting to the point of what's the point?
There are people taking that viewpoint.
There's a lot more people now. You get into a position where when you get older, you might have paid your house off or whatever, and you're brilliant, I'm mortgage free. Then you become ill. Then you have to get some carers or whatever. Yeah. Then they sell your house to pay for the carers. And then the house is gone. And so it's like you've done all that and you're back to where you would have been if you hadn't done it in the first place.
I once listened to a book called, in all fairness, Rob put me onto it, called Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Yes.
Yeah. And what a genius outlook on money and life and stuff like that. And what really struck with me a little bit, and it made me feel a little bit better for not being on the housing ladder or whatever, is it talks about people seeing a mortgage, having a house, a mortgage, as an asset. And actually, if you were to put it in a column of asset and liability, it would actually sit in the liability column.
Mm-hmm.
But people see it as buying a house is an asset.
Yeah.
But until it's paid off, it's a debt. It's a liability.
Yep. Yeah.
So unless you can buy a house outright, that obviously then it's an asset. But even then, they would question whether it is an asset because of the running costs of the house. The running costs become the liability. Mm. So again, it's that mindset, isn't it? Of, I do think that the younger generation is being a bit more switched on regarding certain things like that. We were almost brought up to aspire to that, weren't we? Be on the housing ladder and mortgage out. You know, I'd be lying if I said that it hasn't... weighed on my mind, you know, at some point over my life, that I don't own a house or I haven't got a mortgage or whatever. I'm the only one around this table that doesn't, you know. It is about challenging that norm, isn't it? And thinking, actually, you don't have to.
No. I've more recently seen financial advisors, or that would be the best name for them, on social media. And I feel like I've read it somewhere as well, but it's based on that whole, if you put the money that you put into a house that you don't necessarily pay for when you rent, and I don't know what all them are, and I'm not going to go into it, but if you put that money into not a bank account but an investment fund of some sort, and let that grow, and you constantly put that in, the extra money that you pay when you own a house, and you put that in over the term that it would be in there, that money, when you get to the point where you're no longer working, and you say, well, when you've bought your house outright and you stop working, you've got to worry because you own the house. Yeah, but if you put all that money in an investment fund, the money that's in the investment fund would not only fund your rent for the next 20, 30 years that you'll be alive, you'd have even more money. And obviously the maths and everything, I don't know how it works, but I've read it and seen it more than once now. And you go, well, there must be something in it because a lot of people are saying it.
Yep.
So yeah, but it is these ideals that we've just grown up with that, you grow up, you find a partner, you get married, you have a child, you are missed out buying a house, but you buy a house.
I've stopped listening, so all I can hear is your chair squeaking.
Sorry.
I'm thinking, who's got the squeakiest chair, me or Rob?
It's me. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just that... role of life. Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what our parents did.
But they are. But I was speaking to Noah, my youngest. He's nearly 12. I was talking to him the other day, and he was talking to me about investment. And investing in you know, stocks market. Yeah. He doesn't understand it all or whatever, but he just having that thought process of his age.
It's amazing at that age.
Of, oh, do you know what? If you put X amount of money away per month over the year, then compound interest allows you to, you know, this.
He's seen this on TikTok and stuff,
absolutely,
isn't
it? Absolutely. But I've said to
him. He's trying to get his dad to buy more V-books.
Yeah.
To invest in Fortnite, Dad.
Yeah.
It makes me very happy.
My son, Ethan, he was talking to me the other day about it. And because I'm lost with it. It's not something I'm very good with, but he was telling me about this and he was telling me about this and stock shares, invest in this, and particularly with all this Trump thing, that, you know, this deal that he's done in Dubai, he's like, these are the companies you need to invest in. But I've no money to invest in.
This is the problem with investments in general, isn't it? When people talk about crypto and stuff like that, and they're like, oh, you need to get into this crypto, and I tried it, you know, a couple of years ago. I thought, do you know what, I'm going to jump on the crypto bandwagon. I'm going to see what I could do or whatever. And I did a bit of research and I spoke to a few people that was already dealing with crypto and stuff like that. And I probably invested maybe, I don't know, 500 quid over the space of a couple of months.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, 2 years later, I cashed it in for 600 quid. All right, I made 100 quid. But unless you've got that capital to really invest to turn it around, you're knackered. Yeah. Unless you can go back in time 30 years and tell yourself to invest in Bitcoin. But yeah, I think the young generation are changing the mindsets a little bit regarding that thing. But I do fear for them that if they do want to own a house and they do want to get on property ladder, it does concern me. I mean, just the price of houses alone. Mm. I remember my granddad buying his. When he had his house, and I said to him, I said, my granddad was good with money, and my granddad would always say, whatever you could double your money, you're winning. If ever you can double your money, you're winning. And I once said to him, I says, so granddad, how much did you pay for your house? So he said, oh, I paid £3,000. So I offered him £6,000 for a house, four bed, seven such. So, you know, that just when I think of that, my granddad paid £3,000 for his house.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, but the thing is, we won't, but your kids will, or their kids will, be saying in years to come, they paid £250,000 for their house.
Yeah.
You're joking. Mine's £4 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's normal. That's the thing that we're like, you know what I mean? We are.
It's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, I know my granddad once told me a story that he got offered. So where he lived on a street called Sowall Avenue. And now, obviously, I'm going back decades and decades. And he lived in a house he was renting. And the woman that he rented from came to him and she owned a few of the houses on the road. So it was something like six houses back then that was on the street. And she offered my granddad the ability to buy them all. And he got
all of them.
Yeah. So she were a bit older, obviously wanted to retire or whatever it were, and offered to sell him all the houses. Now my granddad, like I say, was always good
Monopoly at the time?
No. No. Some people would say he was tight with money, but he did well with his money. You know, back in the day where he did a day's work, got a day's pay and all that. He'd got savings, and it would have meant that he'd have had to get a mortgage for a few thousand pound, which, granted, would have been a bit more money back then, but it was doable for him to be able to get that mortgage. But because he was so dead set that he did not want to get into debt, no matter what, then he said, no, thank you. I'm all right, thanks. I'll just buy the house that we live in.
Yeah.
And he ended up buying that. He used his savings or some of his savings and he ended up buying that house, I think, for £1,000. At the time, because the other one, £3,000, was a different house. But again,
mad, isn't it? People are paying more than that for the first car.
Yeah. and you look at it now, and hindsight, wonderful thing, like you just said there, Rob. You know, if you could fast forward in time and know what you know now, you know, or come back and whatever. But yeah, literally, them six houses now. Oh, there's more houses on Sowall Avenue now. I get that, but I bet the six houses on Sowall Avenue, round about there, would be worth what?
$250,000 each.
Yeah, it's got to be something like that, I would have thought.
You know, $1.5 million.
Yeah.
But
so, you know, you said something earlier, Mark, about social housing. There should be more social housing.
Yeah.
How do you think they should go about dealing with that?
In terms of funding it?
No, not funding it. How they would do it. In terms of, so at the minute, they tend to build estates and they mix the houses between social and...
Well, that's a prerequisite from planning that. So what they'll say is, right, you can have plan. We'll give you planning permission for the 100 houses, but 10 of them must be either social or, do you know, so there'll be something within that that will say, you need so many affordable and the local authority want X number for social housing.
Yeah.
Some people may be listening may not know what social housing is. So I just want to...
It's houses where you go and dance.
And together.
I know that, but some people might be listening going, what are they talking about? I don't know what housing is.
Well, there aren't four-year-olds listening to this.
Explain it.
Some might be listening.
Explain it then.
Well, it's for people that are on benefits and that sort of thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it's a smaller house for smaller income families.
But I reckon there might be some people listening going, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
All right. What I'm talking about is out and out social housing. So, and I'm not talking necessarily just for people that are on benefits or whatever, but people who are low income, people who are just starting out, single parents maybe, they've got a job, or even young couples that are starting out. And basically, you're renting that property from the local authority.
Yeah, right.
So it's not that you're getting it for free or on benefits or whatever. You know, it's the local authority own the house, or an housing association owns the house, and you're renting it.
Like a council house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Council, housing association, all the same sort of entity. But it gives people an option to move into something of not necessarily their own, but of independence, where they've got something that, you know, an affordable way to... obviously live somewhere, not paying ridiculous prices that you do to private landlords, because there are some unscrupulous ones out there, and you pay a lot of money.
Well, I'm a good landlord. Well, I mean, don't pay me with that brush.
Well, some are more than mortgages for the same house. Obviously I understand that they operate as a business. So social housing gives people an opportunity to move into their own place, into somewhere, have some independence, but to be able to start saving some money to then look at either one day. Now, I know there'll be mixed opinions on whether they should then, after so many years, be able to, you know, look at buying that social housing from that local authority, which would then fund them to be able to build some more, or whether that is just a stopgap for them to save for their first house that they decide to move on to buy and, you know, somewhere else. But that property then will always exist for the next person, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? If if we're looking for social housing for the kids that are growing up, and this, well, you know, I want to move out, I want to get a flat, Dad, I want to move out. All right, no problem. Where are they going to move to? Oh, you can only have this flat. It's $200,000, or £1,000 a month, and you go.
Can I ask? Do you mean that let's say we were building these estates?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call them estates because that's what they'd be.
Yeah, or streets, whatever.
Yeah. Funded by the local authority / government, or incentivizing
in the short term,
or incentivizing housing developers to do it, and then the government or the local authority buy them off the housing developer.
Yeah.
So they agree a price.
Don't get me wrong. It'd be a long term investment, because you'd be looking to make that money back over a long period of time. Because if you're not, you know, charging top dollar,
almost
in
like
rent,
generational sort of thing.
Yeah. So. You know, you build a house. I'm not going to do the maths, obviously, but let's say you built a house and it was, I don't know, let's call it £500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Two bedroom, semi-detached.
Yeah.
You know, perfect for couple with a baby.
Yeah.
You know, £500 a month, it's less than what you'd, I mean, maybe not 500, maybe a little bit less. But that's money that's going back into that local authority indefinitely.
And they still own the asset.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there's maintenance and that sort of thing. So that's stuff that you build into whatever your business model would look like. But for me, that's the answer, because you're giving people somewhere to start off in life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they can then hopefully save some money whilst they're paying into that, and they're not paying the £700-900 a month for something similar of a private landlord, and they never got any spare money to be able to put to a deposit. Well, if they do decide to want to buy, if they don't decide they want to buy, they just live in it for the rest of their lives.
Well, let's face it, that's how it all started, weren't it?
Exactly.
That's how the housing market started.
Yeah.
The government whacked up buildings, estates, you know, and you know, this is why you've got these big what people refer to as council estates.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and this how they whacked these houses up, and it was exactly for that reason.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue all day long whether Thatcher did the right, wrong or right thing with giving the right to buy. You know,
yeah.
you would have some people that look at it now and go, well, the right to buy, that was a big mistake. You'd have some people that was their first chance to own a property an affordable way. The difference is when they did sell them all off, they should have reinvested the money to build more, and they didn't.
Time at the bar, please.
Shall we spin wheel?
Let's.
Yes.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited.
Come on.
You're nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
So nothing to go over from last week.
No, we did a challenge the chat last week, didn't we?
We did. Mark, you did very well, actually.
He did, drinking that beer.
Yeah.
Can you remember it?
Licorice.
Yeah. Did you manage to get to the toilet in time the day after?
Should we spin the wheel?
Right,
are you ready?
Ooh.
Yay!
Oh,
fact dump.
It's fact dump. Shall we actually do a fact dump this time and not the theme tune? Theme tunes thing?
Have you got a theme tune?
Well, no, I haven't. No, that's why I'm saying. Look, stop spoiling the theatre. No, I haven't got any intros prepped, so shall we do fact dump?
Do fact dump.
Let's do fact dump.
What's your intro?
There still ain't one.
No, you did. You've done one.
No, intro. I haven't.
You have? You went.
Intro.
Fact dump.
Oh, yeah. Fact dump. Okay, so this is where I give some random facts.
Are we ready?
You like this, don't you, Mark?
I love this. I love facts.
So, there are more stars in the universe than grains of sand on all of Earth's beaches.
What?
Oh.
So, there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand, on all the Earth's beaches.
Who's counted them?
I know. Yeah, but not including...
Could you imagine trying to count sand?
So, but not including sand from being cured or that.
No, it just says beaches.
Tip it over the edge.
astronomers estimate that there are around 100 billion galaxies in the universe.
They're just guessing.
So 100 billion galaxies in the universe, and each galaxy contains a billion stars.
Prove it.
Yeah,
it's on my screen.
Yeah.
They're estimating.
Yes.
Well, I'm estimating there are an infinite number of sands. On beaches.
Sands.
Jesus was born. Prove it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so next one.
Like it.
What English word do you think has the most definitions?
Say that again.
So what English word?
Yeah.
A word in the English dictionary.
Yeah.
Has the most definitions.
I mean, I'm struggling with a question. Let alone trying to think of a word.
So an English word.
I know.
Definition.
That has the most definition, so it's the most versatile word.
How?
Nope. How many definitions has how got?
I don't know.
Is it someone? Oh, I think I know this. I said this all the time.
I don't know.
Is it?
Tell us, Kirk.
It's the word set. So the word set has the most definitions in the English language. The word set has over 430 definitions.
What?
What?
Making it one of the most versatile words in English.
Go. What's the first one? Is this a two-hour special we're doing? as in the word S-E-T?
S-E-T,
ooh,
set.
Wow, okay.
So I suppose when something is set,
you start with one, Mark.
Set, when concrete, it sets. There we go, that's one.
Give me one more. Go on, Kirk.
To set something down. So like to place something down, to set something down.
Rob? Set something up.
What do you do?
Right.
To set something left.
And I'll finish off with
no, go on, give us a proper one.
All right. A collection of things.
Yes, yeah. Set.
I've got one. Set something off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is good.
We're not going to get 430. No,
Move on.
Next one.
Right.
So, what do you think the shortest commercial flight is? How long does it last?
Oh.
So, the shortest commercial flight.
I think this is going to be somewhere in the Caribbean or something like that.
Nope.
No. Nope. Okay.
I'm going to say. I'm going to say 15 minutes.
I'm thinking like seaplanes, but that's not a would that be classed as a commercial flight on a seaplane, which would be possibly 9 minutes.
Okay.
Is it from an island to an island? Any clues here?
So the flight is between.
I'd have gone from Edinburgh to Glasgow or something like that.
It's between two Scottish islands.
Oh, okay.
Right part of
the
world.
So it's between the Scottish islands of Westray and Papa Westray.
I mean, it's got to go up and then land. I mean, it's got to be at least. Did you say the time of it?
That's what I'm asking.
Let's just think about it. There's no to say that it's not literally just almost hovering from one to the other. So it could even be like five minutes. I don't know because I said
9 minutes, but I was thinking a seaplane goes off.
That could be that.
Go on, Kirk.
We'll take a guess on it. Go on, you start. Nine minutes, Mark.
I've said five. I'll go with five. Even though I said longer before.
I'll say 15 minutes.
57 seconds.
What?
So the shortest
the shortest
commercial flight lasts just 57 seconds. The flight between the Scottish islands of Westray and Papa Westray covers a distance of 1.7 miles and takes less than a minute.
I have a question.
Okay.
Why are they not walking?
That's exactly what I thought.
Do you think they are? Jesus.
Get a boat. A boat can only take... half an hour if it takes 57 seconds.
Did they get an in-flight meal? What's going on?
Did they get an in-flight meal?
I mean, is it duty free?
Yeah, we only sell things that are 30 seconds at microwave. Yeah.
I mean, the safety video is longer than that.
There's your in-flight meal, there's your drink, and we've landed.
I mean, safety video, that's going to... I've not finished watching it, I'm getting off.
Can you put your seatbelts on?
Bing!
Time to take your seatbelts off.
Bing! Have you got any more info?
Sounds like a microwave.
I've got no other info on that at all. Apart from what I've told you.
I love these facts. This is great.
So some cats are allergic to humans. So just as some people are allergic to cats, a small number of cats can have allergies to human dander.
Dander?
Dander. I think it's like the skin cells.
And that's what dandruff is. No. Dander? Dandruff?
Possibly.
It's a bit like me and dogs, because I don't like dogs. So
the average person will walk the equivalent of 5 times around the world in their lifetime.
Well, I mean, Mark won't. He doesn't walk much. But.
Hello? What have we doing today?
Assuming...
Well, you look like you've been entertaining children, by all accounts.
I've got a clown's outfit on or something.
Yeah.
Assuming the average person walks about 7,500 steps a day, the circumference of the Earth is about 24,901 miles. So the average person will walk 5 times around the world in their lifetime.
Wow, that is interesting.
I feel like I've done that already.
How old is the oldest known your mum joke?
I think I know.
I thought you were asking what's the oldest known.
I'm going to put it out there now.
It's old.
I'm going to put it out there now.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell me what the joke is.
Right.
I think I saw this.
But the world's oldest known your mum joke is...
It's old. I think it goes back to...
Is it your mum or your mummy?
I think it does go back to Egyptian times, this your mum joke, I'm sure.
Okay. So how many years old?
Well, I don't know when Egyptians were around. When were they around? Whenever they were around.
Let's say 1,000 years.
Okay. Is that what you're guessing?
That's what I'm saying.
I was going to have a guess somewhere in 1980s, but I don't know.
It's 3,500 years old.
Is it?
Whoa. An ancient Babylonian tablet dating back to 1500 BC contains a riddle that is essentially a your mum joke.
And I think I know what that joke is. I've seen it somewhere.
You wrote it.
Your homework for next week is to find out the oldest your mum joke.
Okay, right. Well, remind me after we've recorded.
Okay, so how many different scents can a human nose detect?
Ooh, I'm not sniffing.
I think this is high as well.
So how many scents can a human nose detect?
Like how Mark says, this is going to be loads as well. It'd be pretty crap if there weren't many.
No, but it could be loads.
Two.
It could be some. No, I think it's... Because I'm sure I watched a documentary about perfume the other day and there's loads. Like
55,000.
Okay.
I think, yeah. Go on, Mark.
I'm reining it in. 148.
Okay.
I would have said something like 10 million.
Okay. 1 trillion.
What? Oh, I would close.
Don't ask me to name them all.
Yeah, let's wow. let's start going.
What, and you've got to you can remember them as well.
Well, the human nose can detect over 1 trillion different scents. Although earlier estimates suggested humans could only detect about 10,000 smells, recent research indicates our noses are capable of identifying a vast array of scents.
Wow,
of over 1 trillion.
My nose can't tell the difference between cool waters and brute.
Yep.
Right, so we've got two more. Ready for two more?
Two more, yeah.
Sure?
Yeah.
Have we got time?
Two more. We've got time, yep.
Okay, what was the largest snowflake ever recorded?
Ooh.
Oh.
So this is giving me a measurement as in the width of it.
Width.
In centimetres or inches?
Inches.
Inches.
Oh. What's that about?
Well, there's always eight. six things to invest.
That's about 40 inches, that, isn't it?
That's about 6 inches, isn't it?
For the benefit of tape, Rob's doing this with his hands.
Yeah, He's doing this.
I think that's about 10 inch. So I'm going to say 10 inch.
That's 10 inch. Not 10 inch.
I know.
What's that there? Have you asked Gemma what size inches, that is? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey dear, you're always exaggerating. I'm going to say 7 inches.
I'm going to say something like 1 inch.
What? It's 15 inches.
Okay.
Hey, I'm wrong.
So the largest,
get you.
The largest snowflake ever recorded was 15 inches wide, according to the Guinness World
Records.
According to Rob.
It was in Montana in 1887. Can you imagine that
falling on your head?
Falling through the sky.
Yeah. And hitting you.
It wouldn't be heavy.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, one more. So the original name for the butterfly was? So the original name for the butterfly was?
Flutterby.
Correct.
That's what Ellen calls them. Is it really?
Correct.
I don't even have a guess. Is
Ellen calls them flutterbys.
Flutterbys.
Yeah. That honestly was a guess, but I just thought, they flutter, don't they?
Yeah. The original name of the butterfly was Flutterby. The name butterfly is thought to have been derived from a phonic reversal of flutterby.
Ah.
So that's your fact dump for this week.
Yes,
I enjoyed that.
Really enjoyed that, mate. That was really good.
Yes, we enjoyed that. Thank you, Kurt.
I guess I'll see you next week then.
See you next week.
See you
boys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.